Father, and we thank you for the opportunity to come and study the word of truth. We pray, Father, right now, that as we study, that those who listen in, they're edified, they're encouraged, and then that they're enlightened in the Holy Scriptures tonight. We pray by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit that you open their eyes up to this truth that you have given us in your holy word. We thank you for this platform. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, tonight, salvation, let me say this tonight before we get going about salvation, is that death cannot be escaped from. Many have deceived themselves into thinking that doctors can save lives, but the truth is there has never been a doctor that has saved even one single life. All a doctor can do is help relieve symptoms temporary to some future date. There has been only one doctor who has the ability to save anybody. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the only one who rescued us from the grave. Only he saves us from death and destruction. Our physical bodies will die, but our soul has hope through Jesus Christ our Lord. Even the richest and what some consider the most powerful in this world will one day die and face judgment. All the rich and powerful from the world's perspective have come and gone. They have had their day in the sun. Now it has passed from them. Even the greatest of the earth are not spared from the grave. Even they have an appointment with death. All who live upon the earth will one day walk through the door of death, unless that great glorious event that I talked about, the rapture, take place in 1 Thessalonians 4. Many of our friends and loved ones' names are gone and have vanished from this world. All we have are their memories. Their time on earth was brief, but the word of the Lord is eternal. Men are completely unable to deliver themselves from their sinful status and hence save themselves from the debt and penalty of their sins. Contrary to popular religious thought, no man is born with the spark of divine good in him. Nor are people innocent for a time and then become sinners. Instead, men are by nature the children of wrath. Therefore, man does not need an improvement to his environment or society. Man does not need another chance to be better than he is. Man does not need an example to follow so he can raise himself out of the gutter. Instead, man needs to be saved. For he cannot save himself or contribute to his salvation in any manner or form. Man needs to be saved. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest either man, lest any man should boast. There will be no boasting in heaven. We cannot be saved by our own righteousness, but only by God's grace and through faith. My brothers and sisters, Romans 6:23 says, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation, if anyone listening tonight, let me say this, salvation cannot be earned. Everyone is a sinner and deserves death, but God gives eternal life. So how can we receive God's gift of eternal life? To be saved, we must believe the gospel. The word gospel means good news. But before we can believe the good news, we have to know what it is. Paul penned it down, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and where you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all, that which you also receive, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. This is the gospel we must believe in order to be saved. Tonight, we're going to continue with our studies. As ambassadors for Christ, we must remember that when presenting the word of truth, rightly divided, Satan will always attempt to hinder and destroy the work of God. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did not beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. God is not asking us if we want to be ambassadors for Christ. But he is telling us, as true believers, we are ambassadors for Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. He purchased our salvation with his blood and provided our justification through his resurrection. We are now reconciled with God. 2 Corinthians 5:18-21, if you want to go and read that. Now God the Father wants every Christian believer to be conformed to the image of his Son. Romans 8:29. What does that mean? God wants to change your life from the inside out without using the law of Moses. Positionally speaking, God has already sanctified us, set us apart in his Son. Now God wants to sanctify us in his Son practically in our day-to-day living. This is where many in the body of Christ, this is where the struggle is at in our day-to-day living. Contrary to the prosperity theology being widely taught and proclaimed today, God's will does not involve you becoming a millionaire, living a problem-free life, and enjoying perfect health at all times. God's will for us that we are filled with his fullness on the inside, inner man. Let us examine Ephesians 3:16-9 and notice what Paul prays for us believers. What Paul says in Ephesians 3:16-19. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. God's will is that your inner man, that spiritual man, the real you, down in your soul, the invisible you, your soul and spirit, be strengthened with might by his Spirit. God wants you to reach a spiritual maturity so that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Now, verse 17 of Ephesians 3 is not a salvation verse. It is a service verse, explaining how Christ will live his life in you when your faith rests in him. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. God desires for you to be rooted and grounded in love. Understanding his love for us, God wants his Son living his life in and through us. This, brethren, is the fullness of God. With this sound doctrine in mind, you can begin to appreciate God's word, and you begin to understand that God is doing something magnificent. Surprisingly, God wants our participation in what he is doing. The Bible is quite clear that Satan wants to keep lost people lost and Christians unlearned. We look around us today and see just that taking place. Go to the ordinary church of any denomination, and more than likely you will never see or hear this information. Denominations emphasize your performance and your will rather than God's performance and God's will. One of the greatest gifts that God gave mankind was the Holy Bible, because the Bible is literally God revealing himself and communicating himself to mankind in a written word. Anything and everything that we know about God comes from the Holy Scriptures, and they contain the totality of what we need to know about becoming a Christian and everything that we need to know about living the Christian life in the Holy Bible. The believer is told how to walk, how to run the race, how to look, how to pray, how to yield, how to submit, how to resist, how to study the word, how to be sober and vigilant, and how to put on the whole armor of God, how to acknowledge him, how to serve, how to worship, how to witness, how to grow, how to obey, how to love, how to endure, how to suffer, how to rejoice. My brothers and sisters, we sin because we have a nature that wants to sin, to rebel against God. The only way to overcome sin is with a new nature. This truth must sink into one's being if he is to understand God's revelation about sin. righteousness, and man's condition. Apart from such understanding, everything God has revealed in the Bible about sin would be misunderstood. God gave Israel the Mosaic law for one purpose, to reveal sin and condemn. Romans 3:19-20. Now we know that whatsoever things the law said, it said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Paul wrote Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:8-11. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for righteous men, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for the sinner, for the unholy, for the whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured person, and if there be another thing that's contrary to sound doctrine. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, Christendom has never come to grips with this truth. Most believe God gave the Mosaic law, talking about the Ten Commandments, to make one better. Most churches teach the church the body of Christ is under the Mosaic law. That's what most churches teach. Why? Part of the answer is that most churches spend most of their time in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You go to a lot of denominations, you'll see when most preachers open up their Bible on Sunday morning, they are opening up to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, not realizing what right division is and who that whole Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is pertaining to. Why? Part of the answer is that most churches spend most of their time, like I said, in the gospel, which concern the Jews who are under the law. No one who spends time with Paul will conclude that the church is under the Mosaic law. The great apostle teachings are completely contrary to such thought. Tragically, the vast majority of Christendom know little of Paul nor understand his teachings. When one reads acclaimed Pauline experts and scholars, one finds they too have little comprehension of Paul's doctrines or knowledge of his revelations or his secrets that was given to him by the risen Lord. Now, we're talking about ambassadors for Christ. We'll do this last segment, and we're going to close. Worldly living, a lot of them be thinking that worldly living easier than Christian living. It is much, much easier to walk in the default position, in other words, in the flesh, to be fleshly, to sin, to walk in the nature we inherit from Adam. To walk in the Spirit is only accomplished once we study and believe Bible verses. And many Christians just find the Bible study too burdensome, too inconvenient, or too confusing. They are too busy for God. They do not study the Bible, and thus they have no verses to guide them. If they do not study the Bible, they cannot understand what they read. And so it is if they had no Bible at all. This forsaken Bible study would greatly help these people who make sense of the Bible. It would cause them to see that Paul's epistles, Romans 2:5-11, are God's complete will for them. The answer is not religion, my brothers and sisters that are listening tonight. The answer is grace, grace, grace. Christians who live like the world, they have compromised. They will not jeopardize their social life for Jesus Christ. They want to spare themselves the ridicule for being an odd Christian. So to please men, they serve men instead of serving Jesus Christ. Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men of God, or do I seek to please men? For yet, if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. For our learning tonight, Jesus' earthly ministry to the nation of Israel, John 12:42-43 says this. This is nothing new. Look what Jesus was dealing with. Nevertheless, 42 of John 12, nevertheless among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. 43, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Our goal as dispensational Bible believers is not to have men's approval, but God's approval. 2 Timothy 2:15. After all, we are to seek the approval of the person whose opinion alone counts forever. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I can attest to this next statement, and that is oftentimes Christians know certain activities are wrong, and they do them anyway. In other words, the places we go and the folly we engage in, this is not ignorance. In other words, you haven't been taught about it. This is just willful disobedience. It is deliberate sin. Even as Christians, we lie, we cheat, we use foul language, we feel pride, envy, lust, and many other things. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, Paul admonished the Thessalonians, quench not the spirit. To quench is to find, is to put out, or to extinguish, or to subdue, or destroy. Overcome, quell. The Holy Spirit has a firm desire to work in his people, but he will not force himself on them if they want to live in their own resources and do their own thing. They will be miserable Christians, I can assure you, but they will still be Christians saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, not saved by their performance. Although going to heaven, they will have no joy of the Holy Ghost in believing because they have not believed the grace doctrine that produced joy and peace. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There are many grace believers in the body of Christ that are a hindrance to God's ministry and such a poor exhibition of God's grace. They live as though grace is a license to sin, giving our critics ample ammunition. They act like children when they should be thinking and behaving like full-grown adults, Christians. You see, some Christians will quench the spirit more than other Christians, but whether little or a lot, we should not be hindering the Holy Spirit from working in our lives. To stop the Holy Spirit from living Jesus Christ's life in and through us is for us to live completely, listen to this, contrary to the eternal life that we have been given in Jesus Christ. Mature Christians will not continually quench the Holy Spirit. Those who have a solid footing in the Holy Scriptures, right and divided, they will not constantly quench him. Yes, we all make mistakes, and we all sin. But to persistently live a gutter lifestyle is not what a Christian should be doing. Christians who do not have a firm understanding of God's word to them, they will not have God's power in their lives. And so they will not have stability in their inner man. Again, if there are no sound Bible verses there, there will be no godly living and no righteous living. If they are being educated in the world, college, television, internet, workplace, denomination churches, and many other things, and not educated in the Holy Bible right and divided, they have not got a prayer of victorious Christian living. I know because I experienced it myself in my own Christian life. Perhaps you have had your own experiences with these things. But if you trust in God and his word, and you walk it, study it, believe it. And that's what I want to say as a close. When you're studying, it's one thing. You can read verses, but do you believe it? Do you trust it? It's not. We all can pick up a Bible and read one verse after the next, one after the next. But do you believe it when he said, my grace is sufficient? Do you believe it when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me? Do you believe what you read in God's word. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity. We pray as all those who listen in tonight, we pray that they were edified. We pray that they are encouraged in God's word. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.